We're going to get into the Word of God. So today we're talking about family matters. Family matters. We're going to be in a new series over the next 8 weeks dealing with family matters. It matters to God. Family is important to God. I want you to understand this. It matters. He's all about family. He's all about relationship. He's all about building that unit. Matter of fact, it's probably should be the strongest unit on the face of the planet, because it's through the family that identity is forged. And it's through the family that gifts and abilities are expressed. And so families matter to God. Your marriage matters to God. Your kids, your relationship with your children matters to God. Your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your mom and dad matters to God. Family matters to God. And so over the next few weeks, I'm telling you, you're not going to want to miss this. We're going to address the men next week. We're going to be talking about being a man of God, because you matter to God. We're going to deal with the women. We're going to deal with parenting. We're going to deal with how do you work through forgiveness and learning how to get through the crazy things that happen in family. Because I don't know about you, I've been hurt by my family. I've been offended by my family. Crazy stuff has happened in my family. And so you know what? How do you work through the conflict? How do you learn to forgive? How do you learn to rebuild and restore? And how do you work through all that stuff? I didn't have a dad in my life, but I got to be an honorable son. I still got to love my father. Still got to find ways to get him involved in my life, even if he's not trying to get me involved in his, because I got to take the responsibility. I'm a man of God. I'm a Christian, so I've got to look at this from a different lens than what I looked at it before. And so there's all these different issues we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about church family matters to God. You need to be in a church family. You need to be going to church faithfully and just not be a spectator, but a participant. You need to be on the giving end. You need to be serving. You need to be ministering. You need to find a way to let your gifts be expressed in the body of Christ, because someone needs you to be you. We don't need a carbon copy of me. We need original people. We need people that need you to be you in the family of God. It's important to Him. So we're going to be talking about that. And I just want you to know that it's important to God that families matter. You know, in the book of John chapter 10 verse 10, the Bible says this, that the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. The enemy's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But God's purpose is to give life, and life more abundantly. What's amazing is oftentimes when we look at this segment of Scripture, we go, man, that's, you know, well, how is he going to do that? Well, I just want to just give you a newsflash. One of the ways the enemy is steal, killing, and destroying is he's disrupting the family unit. He's disrupting the family. Your family matters. Some of you ladies that had an abusive father or a poor man image in your life have gotten yourself into all kinds of things because the family unit was disrupted in your life, and the enemy wants nothing more but to steal, kill, and destroy you and your future. And so he'll take the bad view of a man in your life. Do you know that a lot of strippers have this tattoo? It says, Daddy's Girl. It's like a stripper brand, Daddy's Girl. What that is a girl who had either an abusive dad, a molesting dad, a dad who was absent, Daddy's Girl. And so these girls are marked with this impression that I'm not valuable because some man that was supposed to treat me like a princess treated me like crap or was absent. And so my mind is forever, my self-esteem has been diminished. There's men in this room, including myself, who grew up without a father. And I want you to understand something. Your father gives you identity. And if you don't have a dad in your life, you'll walk around searching for identity. And I searched in drugs. I'm not making excuses for, well, because I didn't have a dad. But statistics just don't lie. They say if you don't have a dad, you're 5 times more likely to go to jail, have a baby as a teenager, be addicted to pornography. 5 times more likely. It said that 1 out of every 3 inmates grew up from a fatherless home. 1 out of every 3. I don't know about you, but that kind of makes me wonder, well, if the enemy's going to steal, kill, and destroy, it makes sense to attack the family first. Because if he can confuse you on your identity as a kid, you'll definitely be confused as an adult. If he can make you become a product of your environment, you know, have you ever heard this? Well, when I grow up, I'm not going to be like my dad. I'm going to take care of my kids. And then that same man doesn't take care of his kids. Why else would the enemy want to get into the family unit to steal, kill, and destroy? Because he understands that if he can disrupt that family, he can disrupt legacy. He can mess it up not just today, but for a long time if you and I don't step up and get into the right family to gain our right identity, to figure out who we really are in Christ Jesus. And even though our earthly family might be chaotic, there's a heavenly family and a godly family that God wants to adopt us in, that can teach us and show us that even though the enemy tried to steal, kill, and destroy me, God's going to turn around my life and use it for good and give me life and life more abundantly. Someone say amen. Amen. See, you are created on purpose with a purpose. You are no accident. You were created on purpose with a purpose. You are no accident. I know it's something you don't understand. My life, I'm a product of prostitution. I have friends of mine who, the woman that I know, she's a product of prostitution. Some of you go, you don't know my story. I've been adopted. I mean, you could come up with all kinds of things. I've been adopted. I've been abused. I was forgotten. I was rejected. I'm different. I came from a dysfunctional family. I was kicked to the curb. I've been alone. I was fatherless. You can have all these kinds of, let me just tell you something. You were still created on purpose for a purpose. You were no accident. God knew, as crazy as it sounds, He knew the two people that needed to come together to forge your DNA so you could accomplish a great purpose on this earth. That's right. Well, why? You know, if God loves me so much, then how come my dad was a drug addict and my mom killed herself when I was young? Here's why. Because He needed those two people to come together to create an original you. And you're not supposed to be defined on what someone else did for you. God has a plan and a fingerprint, a purpose just for you. The Bible says that you were fearfully and wonderfully made. You're no accident. Well, you don't understand my story. You know, I don't understand this because I grew up this way. I grew up in this house. And how come I had to grow up poor and my friends got to grow up rich? And how come this got to happen? I didn't see my dad. My mom abused me, or my mom let all her boyfriends abuse me. Or, you know, I got talked down to my whole life. I don't know what situation you come from. And I just want you to know, you know, you might be sitting there going, man, I come from a dysfunctional family. Let me tell you something. Every family is dysfunctional. Every family is dysfunctional. We all got our quirks. We all got those things, those little, you know, the things that we're still trying to work through. And hopefully, if we're in the family of God, we're learning every single day how to be more like Christ. And so our family is getting better. But come on, everyone's come from a dysfunctional family. There's going to be something when you get older that says, man, I can't believe my dad did that, or I can't believe my mom did that. Now, he might not have whipped you with an extension cord, but maybe he just showed up late to everything. Or maybe your mom didn't know how to cook and that was just dysfunctional. I don't know. I'm just saying, some people burn grilled cheese. I ain't going to say no names, Angie, but you know, it's just dysfunctional. Some of you are going, well, if God loved me so much, then why is my life like this? If God loved me so much, why is my life like this? Well, I just want to tell you a story about a boy by the name of Joseph. It's one of my favorite stories in all the scriptures, found in Genesis chapter 37 all the way to Genesis chapter 50. And in this story of Joseph was a young man about 17 years old, and he has this dream, and the Bible says that he is his dad's favorite. Anyone have a sibling that was the favorite sibling? I was the favorite sibling. My sisters will tell you, mom loves you the most. I know. Don't be mad at me. Don't hate the game player. You know, like, I don't know, my mom, you know, I was the only son, whatever, get over it. But Joseph was favored in his house. His dad, the Bible says, he was favored by his dad, and so his dad made this special coat for him of many colors, and the rest of the brothers just got this burlap thing, but Joseph, he had this cool jacket, and so he's a little more flashy than the rest of the brothers. And so the brothers begin to hate Joseph because dad loves Joseph so much. And so the brothers begin to hate Joseph, and they're like, you know what? We're going to kill this guy. We hate our brother so much, we want to kill him. Anyone ever want to kill their sibling? Not for real, but just, I'm going to kill you if you wear my clothes again. Yeah. BJ, you better watch your back. Eric's raising his hand over here. So, you know, I want to kill him. And so they come up with a scheme that we're going to take him out, and we're going to act like, you know, he got attacked by a wild animal. We're going to kill him and bring his jacket back. So they come with this idea, and one of the brothers step in and go, man, okay, let's just not kill him. Let's just sell him into slavery. Whoa, that's better, you know. So they end up selling Joseph into slavery. And so while he's a slave, he goes to this house by the name of Potiphar. And Potiphar's wife begins to try to seduce Joseph. And so Joseph's at this house, just minding his own business, trying to honor God and honor his master. And Potiphar's wife begins to seduce Joseph and tries to tell Joseph, "Joseph, come lay with me." That's King James for "let's go in the boom boom room." And so she says, "Joseph, come lay with me." And he's like, I can't come lay with you because it would dishonor God and it would dishonor my master. I can't do that. So time goes on and finally they find themselves alone and she tries to grab him. And Joseph's like, "I'm not doing this." So he flees the scene. He rips off his snuggie and he starts running out the house. And so he gets out the house and the wife ends up accusing Joseph of rape. And so Joseph ends up going to jail, and they say they stick him at the bottom, in the dungeon of the whole prison. He's at the very bottom of the jail. And in the jail, the Bible says that Joseph finds favor with God. What we can tell is Joseph is honorable. Joseph is submissive. Joseph is obedient to God. And so because Joseph is obedient, honorable, and submissive, his life is marked with blessing. And even though he finds himself in crazy situations, his life is still marked with blessing. And so all of a sudden he's in the dungeon and he interprets these dreams. And all of a sudden he interprets these dreams for these two guys. And one of the dreams is, "Hey man, your head's going to get cut off tomorrow." And the other guy was like, "You're going to get promoted back to your rightfully place." And so someone got good news, someone got awful news. And it both happened. And they say, you know, Joseph said, "Hey, remember me. Tell Pharaoh about me because, you know, tell him about me because I interpret these dreams." So they forget, years go by, then Pharaoh has these dreams. And all of a sudden, the cupbearer goes, "Hey, I remember the guy in jail. And he can interpret dreams." And so Pharaoh calls for Joseph, calls him out of the dungeon, calls him up and says, "Hey, look." Joseph goes, "You know what? You're going to have 7 years of a great harvest, and then you're going to have 7 years of famine. It's going to be really good for 7 years, then it's going to go really, really bad. And my suggestion is, in the 7 years of good years, you put some stuff back. Don't spend it all. Don't waste it all. So that way, when it gets bad, you still have stuff to take care of. And you'll be prosperous while beyond your imagination." And Pharaoh goes, "I'm going to point you, right-hand man next to me, over the entire land." So mind you, still doesn't see his brother, still doesn't see his family. You know, 30 years have gone by now. And all of a sudden, Joseph, the famine has started. It's really bad. And his family, that he hasn't seen in a long time, is starving in a distant land. And they come to Egypt to come get some food, to come get some stuff. And Joseph sees them. And all of a sudden, they don't even recognize Joseph. It's been so long, they don't even recognize him. But Joseph is there. And Joseph begins to give some food to his brothers. And to make a long story short, the dad, Joseph's dad, ends up dying. And the brothers get nervous because they remember, "Man, we tried to kill you, and we threw you into slavery, and we wrote you off, and we forgot about you." And I don't know where you're at today. Maybe you feel a little bit like Joseph. "My family wrote me off. I had dreams and aspirations. I wanted to be something great, and my dad never came to my games." Maybe you got some things where I don't understand. You know, I've been molested. You know, I've been falsely accused. My mom has cussed me out and called me the B word and called me the slut and all this. Maybe you come from a crazy family background. Maybe you feel like Joseph, like, "I don't understand. Why did it have to happen to me? How come I had to live there? How come my parents had to be alcoholics? How come I had to grow up like this?" And I'm pretty sure Joseph had all these kinds of things to say too. "I don't get it, God. All I did, I didn't get to choose to be the favorite. I didn't make my dad love me any more or any less. He just did. I don't understand why my brothers hate me. I didn't make the coat. I didn't give myself the dream. All I was doing was just talking about my dream. And I don't understand why they wanted to kill me and sell me into slavery. I don't get it, God. Why is this happening to me? I've been faithful to you. I've been honorable to you. I didn't sleep with the lady at the house. I ran out the house. How come I got to go to jail? How come I got to be in the bottom of the dungeon?" I'm pretty sure Joseph felt some of that stuff that you and I feel from time to time. But this is where it gets interesting. Because in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, in the Message translation, it says this. His brothers ask him, brother, please don't kill us because, you know, now that dad's dead, you're going to kill us." And this is what Joseph says to them. "Don't be afraid. Do I act for God? Don't you see? You planned evil against me, but God used those same plans for my good. As you see all around you right now, life for many people. Easy now. You have nothing to fear. I'll take care of you and all your children." And he reassured them, speaking with them heart to heart. Let me tell you something. I know some of you might have came from some bad situations, but what they meant for evil, God will turn it around and use it for good. The situation that you might have found yourself in because you was introduced to gang life or drug life or alcohol or pornography by family, or maybe you were hurt and abused by family. Some of you keep saying, I don't get it. I wouldn't be like this if my dad didn't do it. Now, let me tell you something. If you get in the family of God, what they meant for evil in your life, God will turn around and use it for your good. And not just for you, to give you a platform. Joseph goes, don't you see all the new life? Don't you see all the new life? Look, I got a bad story. I got an awful childhood. I got an awful story. You know, some of you go, man, I can't believe, Pastor, you went through some of the stuff you had to go through. I know, but guess what? I'm not mad. I'm not frustrated. I'm not resentful because I understand what the enemy meant for my good, for my bad. God turned around and is using it for my good. And now there is life of many people because I've embraced the fact that I am a child of God. And my past does not define me. Someone should say amen. See, if you want to get your family right, you've got to get in the right family. If you want to get your family right, you got to get in the right family. Some of you are having a difficult time being the dad you're supposed to be. Some of you are having a difficult time being the mom you're supposed to be. Some of you have a difficult time just being the son or the daughter, and your family's chaotic. Every time your dad says something, you get mad. Every time your mom says something, you get mad. Every time your brothers do something, it's just like there's conflict over and over, like your marriage is always struggling or your kids are always going against you. Look, if you want to get your family right, you got to get in the right family. You can't do family right if you're not in the right family. What I'm talking about is if you're not in the family of God, you're going to have a difficult time living out an earthly family with your family. It's not going to work. It's like you're not going to be working on all cylinders. See, the truth is, and some of you are going, well, I don't understand because, you know, how am I going to fit in there? I'm disqualified. I've done too many dumb stuff. Let me tell you something. No, you haven't. There's room for you in the family of God. In Psalm 68, verse 4 through 6, it says this: sing praises to God and to his name. Sing loud praise to him who rides the clouds. His name is the Lord. Rejoice in presence. Verse 5, key verse. Father to the fatherless, defender of widows. This is God who is dwelling, whose dwelling is holy. Verse 6, God places the lonely in families. God places the lonely in families. I know what it's like to be lonely. My mom, when I was in ninth grade, got married and said, I'm moving to Vegas. You can stay here with your 16-year-old sister, or you can come with me. And I stayed with my 16-year-old sister, and I got bounced from my sister to my uncle, to my dad, to my sister, to my uncle, to my dad. I got bounced around. I've been to 9 different high schools in 3 years. I didn't even stay in the house for over a year. I know what it's like to be lonely, to be laying at the bottom of a bunk bed, to see a picture of my mom wishing she was still around in a house with my dad that I didn't even know. I know what it's like to be lonely. But I just want you to understand something. God has become a father to the fatherless. When I didn't have a dad, God stepped in and said, I'll be your dad's son, and I'll be the best dad you've ever. When I felt lonely and just by myself and misfit and misplaced and searching for identity, he said, I'll put you in the greatest family you've ever known. See, he loves you more than you ever know. Jordan, if you can come. He loves you more than you ever know. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 5, it says this: how blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the father of our Master Jesus Christ and takes us to the high places of blessings in him. Long before he laid down earth's foundation, he had us in mind and had settled on us as the focus of his love. Long before the world ever existed, he thought about you, and you were his focus, and you would be the focus of his love. Yeah, you who's had sex with 50 million people, you are still the focus of his love. Yeah, you who's done a lot of dumb stuff. Yeah, you who struggled with pornography. Yeah, you who hasn't seen your kids in 5 years. Yeah, you who's been cheating on your wife. Yeah, you. Yes, you still are the focus of his love. long before the foundation of the earth, He settled in His own heart that you would be the focus of His love, that He'd be passionate about you, that He would be aggressive in starting a relationship with you. You meant too much to Him. Before He ever formed the world, and before He ever put plants and animals and water, you were the focus. He created everything for you. Do you understand that? Everything you and I see today, it was created for us. Not to harm us, not to diminish us. You were the focus. You were the focus to be made whole and holy by His love. Long, long ago, He decided to adopt us. Long, long ago, He decided to adopt us into His family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure He took in planning this. Long before you ever messed up, long before your family was dysfunctional, long before you had a failed marriage, long before your kids hated you, long before everything fell apart, He planned a long time ago, and you weren't His focus to adopt you into His family. When you didn't fit in your family, He said, "You'll fit in my family." I don't know about you, but that means something to me. That means something to me. That long before I ever messed up, long before it ever went bad, God knew me and He understood that all those bad things that were meant to harm me, those evil things that were meant to destroy me, God would turn around and use them for my good, and there'd be life for many because of the word of my testimony, because of the things I had to go through. He wanted us to enter into celebration. He wanted us to enter into celebration of His lavish gift-giving by the hand of His beloved Son, Jesus. See, you matter to Him so much that He sent His Son to make a way for you. All of us sin and fall short of the glory, and we all were rejected by the family of God. But He loved us so much that He sent His Son to make a way for us. Because none of us are good enough for God. Yeah, I know some of you go, "Well, my life ain't that bad." Let me tell you something. You still deserve hell. All of us deserve hell. But God said, "I love you so much that I'll make a way for you. I'll make a way for you through my Son. I'll sacrifice my Son to make a way for you." Talk about a family. Think about what that means. You wouldn't even... You wouldn't even let your son live in another country for 10 years to make a way for someone, let alone kill him. Kill your own kid, your only kid, for the life of many. You matter to Him that much. You matter to Him so much that He is being patient because He wants none of us to perish. The Bible says that He could come back at any time to judge the world, but He is being extremely patient because it is His will that none would perish. Basically, what He's saying is, it's His will that none are not in the family of God. It's His will that all of us would be adopted in as brothers and sisters and sons and daughters of the Most. It's His will. He wants us in His family so much. He longs for that big family. He wants you. He wants to give you identity. Didn't I just tell you your Father is who gives you identity? He wants to identify you. And He wants to say, blessed, prosperous, the head, not the tail, purposed, hope, future. He wants to give you identity. He can't do that if you're not in His family. He can't be the voice of your life if you're not in the family. But in the family, He can speak to you. In the family, He can position you. In the family, He can promote you. And He's waiting patiently. You matter to Him so much that He's coming back. He's coming back. Don't you ever forget that this is not the end. Don't you ever forget that this is not your dwelling place. Don't you ever forget that this is not home. This is not home. So no matter how bad it gets, no matter how good it might get here, there is something waiting on that great day when he comes out the clouds and says, son and daughters, it's time to go home. It's time to enter into all your glory. I've been planning for you. I've been setting up for you. I've got this identified for you. He's not like some of our parents who left and never came back. He's coming back. Like a good day, he says, son, I gotta go now. I'm gonna set something up for you, but I'm coming back. Don't you ever forget. Don't you ever get so attached. This is not home. We are just passing by. And home? You don't even know what home looks like yet. But he's coming back because he loves you. He will not leave you stranded, abandoned, abused, rejected. If you can close your eyes and bow your head, maybe today you're in here and you say, I need that family because